T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
As Albie tracks down Coach Kerr, we'll let you know that tonight we've got Kevin Durant looking like he's rounding himself back into shape for rejoining this team on court against his former team, the Thunder. It's the one and only trip to Oklahoma City all season long. There is no doubt that they want to see Durant in this game. And I want to see Durant in this game just to feel the even strength or the actual preview. I mean, is it a feather in the Warriors' cap to go beat Houston without Kevin Durant? It certainly is. Would it be a feather in their cap to go beat this team without Kevin Durant? Yeah, it would be. But then when the playoffs start and it means something, there's Durant. And you could even suggest that the style of basketball changes a little bit. Well, the style that they're going to take into the playoffs involves Kevin Durant. So you got to make sure that that style is just sharp and ready to go.
No doubt. And I think in this matchup in particular, the Paul George matchup with Kevin Durant is fascinating to me. I want to watch that. I want to see who gets the better of it more often than not. I want to see, is it Paul George defending Kevin Durant and vice versa? This is all stuff I'm interested in. And I think all year long, we look for things that can be instructive to us as we head towards the actual stuff that matters in the playoffs. And between Wednesday and tomorrow, these are two games that probably have more for us in terms of looking forward than almost any game we've watched this year.
Keyword effort. That's it. Like, the thing that drives me nuts sometimes about the Warriors is their effort level. It's not just something you can question. It's something that you can tangibly see not being there. It's a missing ingredient, the way that the cheese, sauce, and crust would be missing ingredients on a pizza if they weren't there. You can't help but notice that this isn't the way it's supposed to be. And look, all habits, you never want bad habits to start defining you. And taking your eye off the ball is, I think, a bad habit that this team has.
I don't know what just made me think of this, and it's not the perfect analogy, but do you remember in college and early in his NFL career, Andy Luck used to talk about how he liked to take a hit to get a game going? Oh, I like to just get popped one time and really sort of get my blood flowing, and then I'm ready for football.
Sure, I do remember that.
And it sometimes seems like that's the approach the Warriors are taking. Like, the game doesn't really start till you hit us in the mouth. And over a period of like a month, they were something like -8 in first quarters. And they're better than everybody they play. So the only explanation for consistently losing first quarters is you're not ready when the tip goes up.
Right. How can this starting five, how can your starting five be minus anything ever?
And my point was going to be Andrew Luck, that worked for a couple of years. And then he started getting hurt all the time. And he had to say, you know what? Maybe running out and taking a hit isn't the best idea, and I got to focus more on starting strong and continuing strong, and I think that's where the Warriors are at.
I would say, though, that Andrew Luck is more, that's more of a t-shirt or a bumper sticker
yes.
thing to say than the actual, geez, these guys aren't focused at the beginning of the game that sometimes you got. Look, it just, what I saw in Houston was a team having fun, and, you know, without going constantly back to this concept of, well, are we playing with joy or not?
Do you feel joy? Say joy!
It feels disposable. It feels trite, but it's not. It's actually the most important ingredient for this team. The skill level, no doubt about it. It's about efforting. It's about wanting it. And it's about feeling good. I really do. I don't know why. One of the biggest memories I have from the win in Houston, when DeMarcus played great, when Clay played great, when Curry played great, was Curry coming off the court, walking down the damn tunnel, and Kevin Durant giving a little, hey, yeah.
Because it's good vibes.
Yeah.
And to your point, this is not just us looking at them, projecting, they don't seem happy, and then drawing conclusions. They talk about it. they talk about the joy, how important the vibe is to them, how when they're really rolling on the floor, it's because they're in a rhythm and flow and not running sets or doing anything specific. They're just playing ball like they know how. And if they're going to tell us that this is the stuff that matters, then we kind of have to react when that stuff doesn't seem to be in place.
Damon, I got to take a hit before things get going is the perfect t-shirt slogan. Yeah, I bet you we could, sell a few of those.
You can make some money off of that.
Around the Bay Area. What kind of hit are you talking about? Be like, whatever hit you wanted us to be talking about.
Left for interpretation.
Again, the greatest t-shirt I've ever owned in my life was a t-shirt that I had in college, and it just said more.
Solid.
People would be like, more what? Would be like, more anything. More everything. More.
I don't know what this says about our relative personalities, but I have a shirt that's just a gray t-shirt that says meh with a period. M-E-H period.
Very on brand.
Yeah, it's a different attitude, but it is on brand.
More. Yeah. It would have been, you know what? We would have totally been yin and yang if you had had if you had had a less shirt.
Or enough.
Yeah.
Enough, that's good.
No more. That would have also worked. Obviously, we're tracking down Steve Kerr. Albie says that he's not picking up the cell phone. I'm going to tell you
right
now.
Should I take this personally at this point?
I'm going to tell you. I love Steve Kerr. I hate Steve Kerr's cell phone. I really do. Steve Kerr's cell phone is one of my least interesting. Sometimes Steve Kerr's cell phone kicks the show's ass. I'm not going to lie.
I would like to speculate that he has the same crappy service that I do, but I'm afraid they might be a sponsor. So I'm just going to. I'm just going to back it off.
Keep that one to yourself. Yeah, I got you.
Just tuck it away for another time. You never know. So as we continue to wait around for Steve Kerr, we're going to say, obviously, that Andrew Bogut, little news this week that he has gotten his U.S. work visa all worked out, and he's going to be in the Bay Area tomorrow, as a matter of fact. And I know you're probably saying, well, wait a minute. If he's in the Bay Area tomorrow, you don't have to take that long of a flight to get to where they're going to be. Well, when you come all the way from Australia, which you fly backwards in time, like if you leave Australia on a Thursday morning, you land in America on a Wednesday. It's nuts. So I think it's the right move to just get him acclimated, and that's the move that the Warriors are making. And what do you know? Albie made the moves to get us Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. Steve, I've got Matt Kolsky riding shotgun with me today. It's wonderful to have you in. Thanks so much for joining us. Great win, fun game, happiness after beating Houston. I like that formula. You should do that again, huh?
I think so. Why not?
That was fantastic. It was good. It was a nail biter. It kind of woke everybody up. I mean, I just saw a bounciness to your team. And I'm just going to say, you know, when I threw out that start Andre Iguodala suggestion, it's nice to know that you're listening to that.
Yeah, I turned on your show because I really had no idea what to do. As soon as you said that, I thought, oh, my God, he's right. So thank you for the suggestion.
Well, it's me. It's the video guy from a few years ago. You know, we're here to help, Steve. We really are.
Everybody gets credit.
All right, Steve, I don't want to get you in trouble here, and I know this is a thing. I certainly don't want to cost you any money. So I'm going to speak about my view of what I saw on Wednesday night. And basically, that is James Harden and Chris Paul doing a lot of things specifically to get foul calls and, in the process, being in the referee's ear the entire game. And I think, as a result, getting some of those calls that I would say they didn't necessarily deserve. Meanwhile, on the other side, every night I watch a two-time MVP never complain, get bounced around the court, and seemingly not get calls. I'm curious, especially since carping at the referees has been a topic around here lately. What is a guy like Steph Curry supposed to do to get the calls that other stars in the league get, since being respectful doesn't seem to work?
First of all, I love the fact that you're coming in firing, Matt. That is awesome. I mean, no holds barred. Let's just, first question, let's fire on the officials. Let's go.
I got another one about player empowerment, if you really want to get.
Okay, sure. that's honestly, it's one of the challenges of playing Houston. Paul and Harden are as good as anybody in the league at creating fouls and drawing contact. And, you know, the one that we know Chris is going to go for is at the end of every quarter, as soon as they're in the bonus, as soon as they have four fouls, if if he's holding the ball and you're anywhere near him, he's just going to swipe underneath you, and it's an automatic foul. And so Alphonso McKinney was guarding him, I think, for the first time in his career the other night. And even though we warned him, you know, he still got his hand in there. Chris did the usual thing, two free throws. So it's a learning experience. It is infuriating, but it's just the way it's called. So we have to respect that and just keep playing.
Steve, I'll walk you back down the find the head coach mountain that Matt wanted to walk you up there. let me just ask about DeMarcus's big night. Was there any sort of a pregame letter rip conversation with him? Because he was razor sharp, and it looked like he just he had been given the marching orders to just, you know, when you're out there, you're running this. And if that's the absence of Durant being out there to be a playmaker, like, fill that void, be that guy. And he certainly was.
Yeah, there was no conversation at all. It was just DeMarcus going out and playing probably his best game of the year. I do think some of it had to do with Kevin's absence. You know, DeMarcus just ended up with the ball in his hands a lot more. And the way they have always guarded us, Houston, with all that switching, it made perfect sense to go in there and force some of their smaller guys to have to guard him and keep spaced around him, keep moving. And it was a different look in our rivalry with Houston. It's the first time we've ever really been able to play that style. So it was very effective. He controlled the game. And then, you know, the other stuff was the defense at the other end, the box outs. It was probably our best rebounding game that I can remember all year in terms of just never letting anybody slide in for a rebound. We boxed out every possession. It was fantastic.
Well, it's pretty amazing how the big man puts the ball on the floor, too. And he really does, whether it's a pass, sometimes a shot, a little floater off the backboard. He's got a feathery touch about him.
Beautiful touch. You know, he's a great shooter. I think this was maybe his 19th or 20th game with us. So you've got to remember it's still really early in the process, and we're still figuring out, you know, the best spots to put him in and best combinations. And we changed the rotation up for that game with Kevin's absence, and I think found some things that worked. Hopefully that'll keep going. But, you know, we have another 15 games to work with in the regular season to try to fine-tune everything, and I thought that was a really good step for us the other night.
Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. Was that a message sent to Houston, or is that a more important message for your own team?
Yeah, I'm not a huge believer in the whole message thing. I think it's more about taking care of your own business and how you're playing. And I think it was a really solid game where everybody locked in. You know, Draymond even said it after the game. Everybody, coaches, players, like everybody, you could feel the energy, just the attention to detail, and you know, every time out, we were everyone was locked in. So that was more than anything just a test for ourselves in terms of our own standards for our play.
All right, I'm now going to ask a personal favor, Steve, after the obnoxious first question, and that is I am a huge, huge Sean Livingston guy because he was a few years behind me in high school, and one of the things he did in high school, among many incredible things, was just dunk all over my high school a lot to the point where I was enchanted by him. Obviously, I think he's admitted, anyone can see, it hasn't been his best year. But I thought, especially after Wednesday night, when I look at the box score and I see Sean Livingston, 18 minutes, 1-for-4, 2 points, 3 assists, 1 rebound, nothing exceptional except he's plus 16. And I have seen a lot of people criticizing a down year for Sean Livingston. So I'm wondering if you can help us identify what the things he's doing that are not in the box score other than the plus 16.
Well, he made a great play, made a bunch of great plays in that game, one of which was right in front of our bench. I think it was mid-second quarter. We were on a good little run. He made a post feed. Clay took a nice cut to the basket, and Sean just kind of followed him and set a screen on Clay's man. Clay popped back out to the top of the key and made a three. So in that sequence, Sean doesn't get an assist or any points, but we get 3 points because he knows exactly what he's looking at. So Sean reminds me a lot of Andre. You know, he just knows the game so well. He feels it, he sees it. And I think the other night he had a bigger responsibility because with Kevin out, when Sean was in, he was really the primary ball handler. And so I thought it gave him a chance to be more of that pure point guard that he's always been. Whereas sometimes with our team, with all the guys who are so talented, Sean plays off the ball, and he's more of an on-ball point guard type, and so that game felt very comfortable for him, I thought.
Steve, is Kevon Looney your secret weapon against James Harden?
He's just a tremendous defender on the perimeter against ISO guards. I mean, he's as good as anybody in the league, and it's become a much-needed skill set in this league, given what everybody's doing. There's so many perimeter players who are going to attack, and so Loon's as good as anybody. Just staying in front, not fouling, being smart, taking away angles, and I thought he was fantastic.
Have you been huddling up extra with Ron Adams in the past couple days? Spend a little extra time looking at film with him. I know that you and Draymond obviously had the back and forth. There wasn't a back and forth, and I tell you, the fact that both of you guys put that away like the grown men that you are was just fantastic. Nonsense, nonsense, nonsense. But Ron Adams, is a guy that I think is either great at hiding his frustrations at times, or he's slapping the hell out of his thighs at times. How's Ron doing?
He's fine. It's one of our favorite pastimes, is watching the game tape and just seeing Ron's reaction when the other team scores. I mean, he does like the full slump in the chair. He does the full head snap back like somebody punched him.
Like Harden.
Sometimes, like Harden. Sometimes the combination of the two, head snaps back, slumps in the chair. We've joked with him that we've a couple times this year we've worried that he actually died during the game. We have a lot of fun with Ron and his theatrics on the sidelines when the other team scores.
go ahead.
I was just going to say, you got to get a super cut of that where you like edit in a little cartoon with a shotgun so that you could just have a series of violent Ron Adams deaths on video.
The sideline interaction that you're talking about, I want to extend that to what happened in Utah and Russell Westbrook and a Jazz fan. I thought the Jazz came down big, suspending the fan from this year that got out of line. They also saw some footage and suspended a fan from the last playoffs who got out of line. Steve, was this a big moment for the NBA, and are the Utah Jazz actually going to come out of this looking like heroes?
I think it was I don't think it was like a seminal moment, because I don't think this is very common, to be honest with you. I mean, fans are always talking trash. But it's a totally different deal, talking trash and, yelling hate-filled profanity. I mean, two totally different things. And I'll be honest, in my 5 years, as coach of the Warriors, I've never heard anything like that, that was racially toned and bigoted and really hateful. Never anything like that. So to me, it's the exception rather than the rule. I hope I'm right on that, but I thought the Jazz handled it beautifully. Donovan Mitchell handled it really well, and hopefully we just move on, and the passion doesn't get swept away in this kind of stuff. This was really ugly.
It feels like 99% of the fans never crossed that imaginary line. I look at this whole thing going down, and there's no doubt that we spotlight, we microscope things, and we bring so much attention to the negative that you'd think it outweighs the good. But like you just said, you really routinely don't hear things that make you go like, wow, that's pushing it.
No. I mean, the closest game we were here for Kevin's first trip in Oklahoma City, and that got a little ugly, but nothing like what we heard in the Westbrook video. So I thought the exception, as I said, rather than the rule.
I want to dig in on one coaching thing that I've now heard you mention a couple times after the game on Wednesday and just a couple minutes ago, as far as I think the way you put it on Wednesday was Kevin being out did sort of allow you to discover something with DeMarcus and a particular way to use him that was both A, because you have one less frequent ball handler on the floor, and I think you also said you staggered DeMarcus's minutes with Draymond. And I'm wondering, when something like that happens, do you feel like that's something that now that Kevin returns, it's instructive and you can still use those new things you've learned when Kevin's back? Or is that more a break glass in case of emergency and we don't have Durant, then we go back to that?
No, I think it's something we learned. And, you know, the thing to remember, Matt, is that the last few years we've kind of played one way, which is, you know, warp speed, firing three-pointers, you know, not a whole lot of time spent. If we had a good shot, we've launched it. But now with DeMarcus, we can win a game a different way. You know, we can win with our ground game instead of throwing the ball every time, if that's the right metaphor. And even when Kevin's back, you know, if we're in a game where we feel like the shots aren't going, we're not in a good rhythm, well, in the past, we would just keep firing. Now I think we have an option to dump the ball inside and slow things down a little bit, take advantage of a mismatch down there. So it's really, another option for us in our offense.
Steve, will Durant play tomorrow?
I would say it's doubtful. You know, he's officially questionable, so I guess that's the word I should use. But
you're downgrading him.
You know, I'm downgrading him to doubtful. I just think that given the nature of the ankle, I think giving him a couple of extra days makes too much sense, especially, you know, at this stage of the season. If this were a playoff game, for sure he'd be playing. We want to be extra cautious, so I'm guessing San Antonio will be his first game back, but we'll see how he feels tomorrow. It's up to him and to Rick tomorrow after shoot-around.
I'm sure it's a game he wants to play in. Your only trip to Oklahoma City, I don't know how the scheduling wrinkle – I mean, does the NBA not understand what they gave up? I mean, there should be two games at Oklahoma City. Jeez.
Right. I don't know how that works. I would guess there's some kind of a rotating formula where, you know, the divisional teams are matching up with other divisions. But I've never actually – asked them before, so I have no idea.
You're going to get a couple of back-to-backs Monday, Tuesday next week. Anyone due for a little load management?
Probably. You know, we haven't played DeMarcus in any back-to-backs this year, and I don't know that we will. I'm not sure we need to. There's a chance he could take a rest. There's always a chance with Sean, Andre, just given their age. And assuming that Kevin is back then, you know, we'd be able to mix and match and still be able to, you know, to put out enough guys and have enough depth to help us win a game. So we'll see. I think it's something that more than likely will happen, though.
I think a lot around this team gets made of the vibe, and we're constantly questioning these sorts of things, I think probably in part because it's hard to question the basketball. But it seemed like, especially Wednesday, vibe really good. People feeling happy. And one thing we've talked about on the show is whether being out on the road, having the guys on planes and spending more time together and less distractions actually can kind of help the vibe of a team. Do you feel like that is potentially happening here?
Yeah, I do. And I think winning does that too. You know, especially a game like where, you know, we've got a team that is one of the best in the conference. You know, great playoff series last year. So you get out on the road, that's helpful. You're just spending a lot of time together. But then you win a game like that, and it's sort of galvanizing, and everybody just feels good. So the trick now is to put it together, you know, where we can put, you know, string 3, 4, 5 games like that in a row and really get some momentum. And that's what we're shooting for.
Steve, most important question I've ever asked you. Who's in charge of shaving Iguodala's head?
I certainly hope that would be Andre.
I would hope so, too. But if you think about it, I mean, it feels like a pregame ceremony that you guys could start implementing. Let everybody lock in, shave Iguodala, and then go play.
I like it. I hear there's a barbershop at the Chase Center, honestly. I heard that. I don't know if it's true or not.
I heard that, too. That there's going to be a barbershop in there. Anything special go down for Steph Curry's birthday?
He had a great day. That's all I'm going to tell you. I'm not at liberty to tell you exactly what he did. I'm just going to say he had a fantastic day.
Have you played the jingle for him yet? First name Stephen, last name Curry. He came into my life, now everything is less blurry. Little pregame Curry jingle?
Probably. We'll probably do that tomorrow night. Get him really fired up.
I mean, how could you lose if you do that? Steve, thank you very, very much. Always good to talk to you. Have you left Houston yet? Are you in OKC? I think you stayed an extra day to practice, right?
Yeah, we are in OKC now. We got a team dinner tonight. Just trying to get some rest, relax, and be ready to play tomorrow.
Enjoy yourself, man. Selection Sunday coming up. Brackets ready to go. We'll talk about that next week.
Thanks, Damon. See you, Matt.
Later.
Thank you very much. Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, always fantastic, always shares, always affable, and always indulges us.
Who's better, really?
That's the guy. That's the guy.
That's the guy.
Steve Kerr could retire as a head coach and go on to be a how to deal with the media head coach consultant.
That is a great business idea, actually.
And he could be hired by every single league, by the coaches who need it. He is a master at diffusing things with a sly comment, a smile, killing them with kindness.
Seems to strike the right tone at every turn.
But it's not condescending.
No, never.
It's never condescending. I don't think the man condescends at all. He's just...
And he has every right to, by the way, especially to...
To me?
Well, I was going to say to an idiot like me. I mean, the first time I actually met Steve Kerr was right after he got hired. There was a Warriors event where they were both introducing Kerr, and also eventually there was a whole movie thing involved. There was a whole thing. And I walked up to him like the Joker I am, and I was like, Steve, it's nice to meet you. I'm Matt Kolsky, et cetera, et cetera. I work in radio. But really, I just want to tell you thank you because I got to watch a bunch of championships that you were featured in growing up. And like, whatever you do here, I don't really care, but thank you for that. And that was our first interaction.
It's probably like, well, it was all me. That number 23 was just riding my coattails the whole time.
Yeah, what's funny is he probably did say something just like that in his typical self-effacing fashion. And there's really, he's the guy.
Who are you going to be more like? I don't know, but if you're more like Steve Kerr, it's probably the right way to do it. Fantastic. Albie, way to track him down, by the way. We're very, very proud of you. 888-957-9570 is the number. You're welcome to come on in. We got open lines before we get to a little 5 before 5 right now. Gianfranco has everything coming up today and this weekend on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Always a great conversation with Steve Kerr, who did break a little news. I'm not saying it's the wrong direction, but it's not what I wanted to hear. Kevin Durant right now, who is officially listed as questionable, he downgraded him to doubtful, says he doesn't think he's going to go tomorrow night. If it were the playoffs, he would. Precautionary? Sure. I wonder if they're really preventing Kevin Durant from re-injuring his ankle, or if they're preventing from him from getting inside of his own head or letting Oklahoma City fans get inside of his own head. What are they really hoping Kevin Durant doesn't re-injure? His ankle or his heart?
I think that question would have made more sense to me 2 or even a year and a half ago. At this point, do we really think he still gets that? Well, but he does. Even as I'm saying it, maybe it is an emotional, there's an emotional hedge to this particular load management. That might be fair.
That is a very good way to say it, really. I think
like, he wouldn't sit out if he hadn't gotten hurt.
Right. The player plays in just about all circumstances, but given that we have 15 games left, this is a trial by fire. We'd rather not put him through as we get ready to go back-to-back, because he just said DeMarcus is probably not playing back-to-back. You can usually scratch either Livingston or Iguodala off of the front or back end of a back-to-back. So maybe he's thinking, I'm going to buy not just one more day of rest, but I'm going to buy till Monday for Kevin Durant, which not only helps the ankle, helps recharge the overall battery, but he's definitely playing a lot of minutes because we got a back-to-back where we're going to be giving other guys nights off. So I'm sure that that has an awful lot to do with it as well. And remember, we're not going to see Andrew Bogut until they're back from this road trip. The visa's cleared, but they're not going to keep flying him halfway across the country after he just flew halfway around the world to get back with the Warriors. So could he be used on this road trip? Yes. I also don't have a problem with letting us unwrap that gift at Oracle Arena. Sounds like that's the last he's new here player you're going to get at Oracle Arena, even though he's not necessarily new here.
Wow.
It's the last 10-day contract in the history of Oracle Arena. I know it's more than a 10, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, the last new addition.
The last new Warrior.
Uh-huh. New old Warrior in this particular case. But, man, Maybe we should have been paying more attention to these lasts over the course of the year. Somebody probably has.
Yeah. Are we chalking up all the last time?
We are really close, though, to the last time Stephen Curry ever steps foot on a basketball court at Oracle Arena. That's a big deal.
It will be a big deal.
Yeah.
It will be a big deal. But, you know, they're playoff bound, so that regular season finale is not going to quite have that drama. But the last game at Oracle Arena, let's just say that is going to be you've heard of late arriving crowds, really not at Oracle, but that's going to be a late departing crowd.
For
people
sure.
are going to sit around and
hopefully they're celebrating a title.
Drink it in one more time. Yeah, no doubt. Well, actually, if they're really good, you figure, well, here's the deal. So if
just trick off a game on the road.
If it's Milwaukee.
Oh.
If it's Milwaukee, games 3, 4, 5 are in your
jet. That's right.
And you could
so
wrap
you
got to
steal one and then come home and take care of business.
Bring out the brooms.
Oh, wait, do they still do that? Is it still 2-3-2 in the NBA Finals? Or they might have changed that one.
2-3-2? Is it 2-2-1-1-1?
It might be 2-2-1-1-1, which would mean game 6 would still be here, which actually might work out better.
Just go ahead and sweep. There you go.
There you go.
888-957-9570. Neil is in Oakland. Neil.
Hey, what's up, Damon, Gianna, Kolsky? Happy Friday.
Thank you. Happy Friday back at you.
So, Damon's often talking about the member berries.
Oh, yes.
It comes up a fair amount. And, yeah, I must say, with Bogut returning, the member berries are blooming heavy. Like, I can't wait to see him back on the court. I don't know what we're going to see, but I'm really excited to see, like, what he's got left in the tank. If he can help us out with some defense, some rim protection, a hard screen. I saw some highlights of him in the NBL, and he's still catching those like one-handed oops that he could throw down, and I just can't wait to see it. I'm so stoked.
Give me 8 rebounds and a block and a half a night.
Yeah, remember Chewbacca again? Oh, I love to remember Chewbacca.
I remember Bogut, too, and I remember him being a rim protector. I also remember him very much taking on that DeMarcus Cousins role that he really excelled at in Houston, where he's got the ball in his hand, he's initiating offense, and I don't think we're going to get a lot of twin towers where you're going to see DeMarcus and Bogut on the court together, but I will say this. DeMarcus, Andrew Bogut, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, if you want to say he's the front court player too, whatever your front court is, whatever that is maybe the greatest passing front court in basketball history. These guys can go and play tic-tac-toe with each other all night long if that ever happens.
Yeah, great point. And the point that the caller made that I think I'm most excited, you said 8 rebounds and a block and that's great and hopefully he can do all that. You know what I'm excited for? The first time he just levels somebody on a screen. I'm not sure we've seen that since Zaza. Boogie set some screens. He's a big body. It's effective. But that I am a brick wall and you just ran into me and died.
Right.
I'm excited to see that again.
Andrew Bogut was a stiff screen. Zaza Pachulia is the single greatest moving screen in NBA history. Nobody shuffled his feet more on a screen than Zaza. Never called on it once.
Tremendous.
Just getting away with murder on those moving screens. That's why we vote for him. Never forget.
Nothing easy.
Damon, what the hell was that audio clip?
Yeah.
I guess you don't member bury those yourself.
That's one of my favorites.
Cole in San Francisco. Cole, what do you got?
Hey, guys. I wanted to transition a little bit, talk 49ers. I know they've been pretty proactive so far on the defensive side in free agency. I think Kolsky was saying the other day that they've probably got around $30 million more to spend. I'm just curious on your thoughts about maybe trying to go after Eric Berry now that the Chiefs have released him and really trying to kind of solidify that secondary.
We just asked Sarin Petro, who is a Kansas City talk radio host, what he thought of Eric Berry. And he's like, look, the guy can still play. But, I mean, the injuries have mounted. The concerns are real. You know, he has overcome so much to get here, but how much does he still have left to give the game? And the fact that he is not on an NFL roster right now means that I don't think Sarin was too far away from what he was suggesting, just saying that the amount of red flags on Eric Berry are considerable, and I don't think that you're going to find any team that wants to, you know, put a long-term deal in front of him, which was, look, maybe the reason, Cole, that they need to go out and offer him a one-year, two-year deal, little guarantee. See what Eric Berry, would you rather see Eric Berry in a one-year plug-and-play, or would you rather develop Exum? Would you rather have that spot ready to go for maybe this is where Richard Sherman ends up? I really think that they have convinced themselves, and I could be proven wrong. There's a part of me that hopes I'm proven wrong by the addition of a safety here in free agency. But I really think that the 49ers have convinced themselves that their solution can be found in-house.
I would say that in response to that, I would say I am afraid you're right. I think they need to sign a safety. As far as Eric Berry goes, the longer he sits on the market, the less he's likely to cost. And if you can get him on a deal not unlike the one you just got for Jason Verrett, another guy who, if healthy, great, but has not been healthy very much, that's a gamble I would definitely sign up for. Eric Berry is a top five safety when healthy, period.
By the way, I got a guy here who's saying, hey, Damon, you know that Oklahoma City fans already have their chant for Durant ready to go, and it sounds just like this. You are leaving. Where are you going? Which is another reason why if he's not playing tomorrow night, that might be okay. My question is,
they're not that clever in Oklahoma.
If Durant isn't playing tomorrow night, is he in civvies on the bench, or do you just leave him at the hotel? I think you just leave him at the hotel.
He wasn't on the bench in Houston, was he?
I don't know.
I don't think he was.
I never noticed. I didn't notice one way or the other.
No, he was in the hallway.
The only time I saw, but he might have beat him in the hallway if you're the last guy in the bench. But I do not remember whether or not I saw him on the sideline.
They didn't
game.
Put the camera on him. I know that. I mean, we watched the whole game, so.
Right. We did not see him on television. I guess I can't say for sure he wasn't on the bench, but my suspicion is he wasn't, because they'd have found a way to get him on television if he was. So, yeah, I would say he's in the locker room.
Hey, you can join me and Joe Fortenbaugh coming up on Tuesday from 5 to 7 p.m. at BMW San Francisco's. It's the 5th annual Ultimate Bracket Challenge. You got food, you got drinks, you got a little fun with me and Joe, and a chance to win $1 million for the perfect bracket, which, by the way, is, you know, how about this? If you have a perfect bracket, I'll kick in $1 million more. So now it's a $2 million prize, because there's no such thing as the perfect bracket. The chances are in the billions, all right? It's never, ever, 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 ever going to happen. However, come out and have a little fun with me and Joe. 95.7 The Game Bracket, SF, BMW San Francisco. Full details can be found at 95.7thegame.com. 888-957-9570. You're going to need that number next hour. You're going to need to let every single Niner fan that you know that the legend joins us next hour at 5:30. Frank Gore is going to have an appearance here on the show. At 6:30 tonight, we're going to take it to the tweets. And coming up next, it's 5 Before 5, starring the one and only Gianna Franco here on 95.7 The Game.
Some things you need to know. Some things you want to know. It's 5 Before 5 on 95.7 The Game.
Good to have you here on 95.7 The Game. We have a great show remaining in case you missed Steve Kerr. We're going to have a replay for you in our 6 o'clock hour. We're also going to be taking it to the tweets. Frank Gore joins me and Matt Kolsky coming up at 5:30 today. Right now, we are joined by Gianna Franco for a little 5 Before 5 here on 95.7 The Game. Brought to you by our good friends at the California Academy of Sciences. And we even got a 5-pack of tickets to give away right here and now. Caller number
5.
How about that?
Caller number 5, 1-888-957-9570. Is that the number we're using, or should we use it on this line? I already threw it out there.
We're using it. You already put it out there. I have a feeling people will get angry now if we didn't. So caller number 5, 888-957-9570. You are going to the California Academy of Sciences.
All right, let's do it, gentlemen.
Number 1.
Look at that. My mouse wasn't working. Now it's working. That makes me very, very happy. Thank you, Alfie and Elena. All right, Nike has officially unveiled Kevin Durant's latest signature sneaker, the KD12. The brand is calling the shoe its most technically advanced sneaker to date. Literally two paragraphs of why the shoe is so technically advanced. I'm not going to go into it. You can look it up yourself, but it does look pretty cool. The first colorway of the sneaker is called 90s Kid, which is inspired by Nike's 90s era, which experimented with colors such as neon, volt green, and splattered sneakers. They will be released on April 1st, and the black and white colorway is slated to be released on April 6th, with the sneakers selling at over $150.
I see Durant's wearing those pink joints the last time I did see him
that's
play.
Right.
Those were awesome.
Yeah. Those were cool.
I am never a fan of these, hey, this color on my shoes doesn't match anything involved in the entire history of the franchise. I know it's super cool to have these match nothing, but I don't like it. I also
don't
want
to have the uniformity.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I don't mind when someone wears like, okay, so we're wearing the blue and yellows, and this sneaker's blue and that sneaker's yellow.
That's
like,
cool.
I think that's kind of cool, but I don't like the, this is a random color, have at it look.
Did you see these 90s kid joints, though?
No.
As a 90s kid, they definitely don't match anything, but I like them. I can't help it. They've got like a...
What do you mean 90s? What are they, Rugrats all over
there's
them?
Like a Zubas... The best
vibe.
Way I can describe it is okay. Like a
the
Zuba style.
So the Zuba look is the worst look that ever knocked on the door of a sports fan.
Look at it. Look at the... You see how the design on the back of the heel is kind of
cool.
Has that
style.
It's like a little like whammy.
Uh-huh.
You can't do that on television.
Yes.
Sort
yes.
Of. All right.
Yes. All right. Double dare. That sort of thing.
Okay.
Oh, we love Double Dare.
I kind of dig it, and I think the black and white ones look great.
I think they look pretty cool, too. Well, in related news, apparently...
I just want the Warriors to wear the white uniforms at home one more time before the end of the year. That's all I care about.
Warriors, please listen, because he keeps asking for that. Apparently, Kevin Durant has the sixth most popular shoe among NBA players, among his peers. So the list goes as follows. Kobe Bryant, then Kyrie Irving, Paul George, Michael Jordan, mostly the Air Jordan 32, 33, as well as retro models. LeBron James, the LeBron and Soldier lines, and Kevin Durant. After that, there is a steep drop-off from what NBA players actually use, which the highest percentage is 62% of all players in the league wear Nike, followed by Adidas, and then Under Armour comes in towards the end.
Well, the reason why you're seeing isn't because like players are voting to... we either support Kevin or we want Kevin to think that we love him because we wear his shoes. You just said yourself, Nike put out a several paragraph statement about all the research and technology that they put in KD shoes. Let's just say they signed Jeremy Lin. I doubt they spend nearly as much time on Jeremy Lin's research and shoe development as they would Kevin Durant.
Probably not.
That one might not be the best example because I have a feeling Jeremy Lin's shoes sell a lot better than the average player of his stature.
Right.
Well, so?
I'm just saying,
he's
relevant
their prize.
To the NBA.
Yes.
Yes. But okay. So someone else, Damian Lee. I don't know.
They probably do have like a Damian Lillard, and they probably don't spend. He might be Adidas, but
Damian Lillard is Adidas. Yeah,
even the second tier guys are not going to get the same sort of focus on their signature shoe. That's
right.
Clear.
What? Kent, Bazemore and Curry are both with Under Armour.
The Bazemore right. Under Armour is less technologically advanced than the Currys, I would guess.
But this is NBA players. I'm guessing if you go, have the same survey with fans and.
How different do you think it would be?
I think it would be quite different. I think there's a lot of people who like Steph Curry shoes because, A, it's Steph Curry and are a big fan of Under Armour.
I wore a pair of Currys for a while. I wore some Currys, black Currys that I really liked.
Not the orthopedic ones.
No. Not the dad.
Not yet.
Not the dad bod Currys.
Okay.
But, Albie.
I have Under Armour shoes for basketball, actually.
Albie, are you rocking your Durants right now? I know you got some KDs.
Yeah, I'm not rocking them right now, but they're at home. I got the KD9s.
Way to break in to let us know they're in your closet at home. Thank you.
Well done.
Just nodded yes or no. But
you're three generations behind now. Maybe it's time for an update.
A new pair. $150 bucks.
But the KD9s are the best of all the KDs, in my opinion.
Hot take.
Yeah. It's a lot of money, though. $150 for a pair of tennis shoes.
Yeah, if anyone wants to buy me the 90s kid version, I'm probably a 12, 11 and a half, 12.
I have my like $30 Adidas on.
Number
I have all
two.
Birds. Highly recommended.
Well, hey, okay. How much did those set you back?
Almost as much as KD's, unfortunately.
Wow.
Barefoot.
Nice toes, Damon.
Thank you.
Nice toes. All right, listen to this. Bryce Harper has been partaking in spring training for less than a week after signing a 13-year deal worth $330 million with the Phillies. So today, though, they had a bit of a scare. Listen to this. Oh, mouse not working.
He got hit in the ankle by a pitch. Wasn't that scary at all?
Yeah,
he
didn't but put the sound it in his is ear so hole. Much better.
Oh, he's fine.
Oh, here. Oh, man.
Right in the ankle. He's had a lot of close pitches today. Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Not what you want to see.
No.
It isn't what you want to see. NBC Sports Philadelphia with that sound. And he fell down, grabbed his ankle. I mean, it looked a little scarier than it was, but it looks like it's just a contusion, which is, I believe, a bruise.
Can you imagine you're the pitcher who throws the inside pitch that breaks like a bone in Bryce Harper? You're going to get a D-cell battery thrown at you the next time you visit Philadelphia. So
yeah, it's dangerous in Philly. Hey, this is a bright spot for Giants fans. There's literally nobody on your team who, if they got hit in the ankle and it broke their ankle, it would be a tragedy for the ball club.
Oh, what a value add.
If you had signed Bryce Harper, you'd be constantly worried about him getting hurt. There's nobody on your team you got to worry about.
There you go. So you get to enjoy a baseball injury-free concern season thanks to your San Francisco Giants.
Number three.
All right. So ESPN has released their World Fame 100 ranking of most famous athletes in the world. Cristiano Ronaldo, number one, followed by LeBron James at number two. Stephen Curry comes in at number nine, with Kevin Durant coming in at number 11. So there's 100 people on this list. Here's some of the takeaways. There were at least 10 cricket players.
10%
yes,
of the most popular, most recognizable Q rating, whatever metric they came up with to put this list together. 10% of this list are cricket players, a sport that, I mean, crickets literally are crickets, you know, like chirp, chirp, chirp here in the United States. It's not, wow.
I know, that blew my mind.
It is the most popular sport in a country that makes up about 1/6 of the world.
But 10 players on a list of 100?
It's crazy.
It's a lot.
Well, and it's even more crazy when you bring it. I don't want to take your thunder. Okay, go ahead.
All right. So here's the rest. By the way, it's done by Search Score, which has something to do with Google and how popular they are, endorsement dollars, and social media followers. So football had 7 players. The first one coming in at number 31, which was Tom Brady. Soccer, 35 players. Okay, I get that. Basketball, 14 players. Golf, 5. Boxing, 4. MMA, 2. Tennis, 9. Baseball, 1. Bryce Harper coming in at number 99, I believe. He is on the same level across, you know, worldwide with an esports player, snowboarder, a figure skater, a swimmer, auto racers. They all came in with at least one person on the list. So baseball, one person. Bryce Harper.
It's an indictment on Major League Baseball's inability to market its stars. It's an indictment on baseball's claim, you know, the planting its flag in the culture. Baseball is played globally. You'd think that the game would have more of an appeal at the major league level, just in terms of star power. Mike Trout, not on this list, is staggering. Not a single New York Yankee cracks this list. I mean, I would say that, you know, outside of any soccer team, that, okay, so soccer is the biggest sport in the world. All right, fine. I'm not even going to argue with you.
But how many NFL players did you say?
There were 7.
Nobody else plays that sport besides the 325 million people in America.
Yeah.
And it's got 20-something, you said?
No, it's got 7 football players.
Oh, 7. Yeah. So 7 NFL players, all of them above Bryce Harper on that list in terms of world popularity. And they do play baseball around the world.
And it's a 100-man list. And
that's baseball's problem right there.
Yeah,
Bryce Harper comes in
at
number 99.
99.
Here's a question
Blake
for you.
100.
Is there a single female athlete on that list?
There's a few. There is a swimmer, Serena.
Serena's got to be on
there. Serena's on the list as well. I think she's in the top 20. She's like number 17, I believe. So, yeah, there are a handful of females.
Okay.
I think there's a couple other. There's like at least
Japanese golfer, tennis player.
Yeah. So, yeah, there females are represented for sure.
Okay.
So, but yeah, interesting to see that baseball only has one person. One guy.
Not a single person from the sport of hockey. It's like hockey doesn't even exist on this list.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't see any hockey.
That's another
players.
Worldwide sport.
There. Yeah, anywhere that it's cold, they play in hockey. But there you go, not on the list.
All right, a couple more here.
By the way, I did have one for you.
Done scoring.
He should be on the list. Serena, how's social media following, though?
Serena, 17.
17,
by
okay,
the way.
Cool. Thank you.
Number 4.
Okay, really quick. George Kittle, just another one of the guys hanging out at the big tournament in Chicago this weekend. Best tight end in football. Well, one of the best, we could say. Obviously a famous person. He hung out with everybody else. He could probably afford his own suite and some really nice seats. He was chugging beers, hanging out, sporting an Iowa tank top, guns a-showing, beer flowing, rooting on the Hawkeyes to victory. It was very cool to see on Twitter.
George Kittle is 3 years removed from his last year of college now? Not even. So, of course, he still wants to be kicking it in the student section. When you graduate college and had a great college experience, you go back to get a little taste of that experience any single time you can, and Kittle's pounding beers and having a good time. Fantastic.
The video I saw made it look to me like he was just roaming the crowd, stopping with random groups of Iowa fans and like pounding a beer with each of them.
He's having a good time.
Which sounds like the best way to spend your time during a meaningless basketball tournament that I can think of.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Number five. How's the Big Ten tournament a meaningless basketball tournament? I don't understand that. It's meaningless for Indiana, but thank you.
All right, last year, speaking of chugging beer, St. Patrick's Day is on Sunday. The 168th annual St. Patrick's Day parade is happening at 11:30, or on Saturday the parade is, so that's tomorrow. So you can have 2 days of drinking. So enjoy that. It's a really popular parade here in San Francisco. It starts on 2nd and Market. And then you've got the beer drinking holiday coming on Sunday. So have fun with that, guys. I won't be able to partake this year. That's all right, though.
I have reached an age where 2 days of drinking just means 2 mornings of pain.
2 mornings, not just one.
I like whiskey. I'm in. Welcome to your 5 o'clock hour.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.